I'm just so jealous that not only do they get to be in London, they get to rehearse in a place where you just, at the end of the rehearsal day, you walk down the stairs and there's a pub.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, we're not even going to bother doing that. We're just going to bring the bar upstairs and rehearse at the bar, I reckon. That's my, that was my idea.
Well, that will be an enormous time saver, and that is why you're stage managing, because you are all about efficiency.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 221, Ginger Stage Manager. Last week, you heard from Jeff Marlowe and Tiger Reel, who are performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, on our six-week tour of Belgium and Holland, along with Matt Rippey, who you've heard from regularly on the RSC podcast these last couple of years. But Tiger, Jeff, and Rippey are being joined in Belgium and Holland by our Ginger stage manager, Davey Naylor. Davey, as you'll hear, has been with the RSC a very long time, but mostly in London, so we don't get to hear from him very much. I persuaded Davey to Skype with me, baby, a couple of weeks ago, and sort of reintroduce himself to you.
Our podcast listeners have heard you a couple of times on the podcast. Talking
that limey guy who talks with that stupid funny accent.
Yeah, no, that incredibly cool stupid funny accent.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Well, yes, yes. I've got a funny story, actually. Last time I was in LA, it was been about 8 years ago, I got into a cab to go home, to go to the airport, and the taxi driver said to me, "Do all you English speak like Austin Powers?" I couldn't help myself. Yeah, baby, yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yes, that's my last memory of Los Angeles was... I sound like Austin Powers, so that's lovely.
Well, we're very sophisticated out here, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, yes. Rippey gets accused of being a Brit all the time here in the States because his accent has gotten so mixed up and muddled coming from Texas and being in London for...
Does he have a little British twang, does he?
Reed and I can't hear it, except when he says things like, "Cheers, mate," and "Where's the boot in this lorry?" That kind of thing.
Yes, using the English. He still has a magnificent Texan drawl. It's and his voice is so ridiculously deep. It's almost like it'll go. You know, eventually I won't be able to hear it because it's so low.
Well, but I do think that's one of the reasons that people think he's not from America is that his voice isn't anywhere near nasal enough. You know, your average Brit has a more resonant, chesty tone.
Yes, pompous. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. More like this. Yes.
Yes.
Well, now sometimes we talk a bit like this. Cockney, a bit more cockney.
That's right.
And the old cockney accent. Apples and pears. Boat race.
All right. So you are a cockney. Is that right?
No, I'm not. I'm from Norfolk. I'm from Norfolk. In East Anglia in Great Britainshire, and I've been living in London now for coming up to 20 years now since I came down here to go to college, drama school, I trained to be an actor, wasn't very good.
Is that the problem? Is that what happened?
No, I realised that there were a lot of better people on my course who were destined to spend the rest of their lives waiting tables, so I thought, right, I think I better do something else. And luckily, I happened to chance upon a job at the Criterion Theatre in London's West End. And who were playing there? The Reduced Shakespeare Company. That was, many moons ago. Well, 96, I think that was. 96, 1996, that was.
Well, that was the ground floor of the Reduced Shakespeare Company at the Criterion. You were there from the very beginning.
From the beginning, man and boy, I've worked with this company, man and boy.
Now, but so you talked about your acting background, but you have you come from a theatre background, right? Aren't your parents involved?
Yes. Well, no, my father runs his own theatre. He He runs his own theatre up in Norfolk. It's a little village called Westacre. I'll plug that for all you podcast fans. You can go look up westacretheatre.com. And he runs, and it's on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And he runs a lovely little theatre in the middle of nowhere, absolutely in the middle of nowhere. It's amazing he gets more than two people to come along, and it's, one of them is just the next door neighbour's farmer. But he doesn't, he gets hundreds of people. They come down and he has a varied programme, and he's been running that place for the last, 20 odd years. Yeah, so it's great.
But yet with your father's experience as a guide, it didn't scare you out of going into theatre.
No, not at all. Because he would just beat me until I got it. You know, till I worked it. Yes, you must know. He was very good. In fact, he said, look, you know, do whatever you want. I don't care really. You know, you could go, but whatever you do, just go and make some money so you can when I'm old, you can look after me. That's the only thing he said to me. But when I was growing up during my teenage years, the theatre, I was down there working backstage, doing lighting, doing sound, doing props and stuff like that. So I kind of, that's how I grew up really, doing that. I was down there every weekend, every evening, doing stuff like that. And that's how I got into theatre. And then when I thought, now what am I going to do for the rest of my life? When I go to college, what shall I do? And I thought, well, I'll go to drama school because that's the best thing to do. I tried acting. But really, it didn't really suit me, and I was more interested in doing the backstage sort of stuff anyway. So I ended up doing that, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Well, it seems to be the only way to make a living in the theatre is to have skills in every department, so you become invaluable.
Yes, somebody said that to me the other day. Yes, you're very good, Dave. Yeah, you're a jack of all trades, aren't you? But master of none.
Yeah, right, that's the inevitable conclusion to that.
Yeah.
But, well, and in fact, you... When we were you stage managed the filming of the Complete Works of William Shakespeare DVD, and not only were you the stage manager in that one, you also were running the props and costumes backstage. You were you resetting props and costumes as you were calling the light cues.
I was just showing off. That's all.
Exactly.
No, or the fact that we didn't have enough people to do it. So Muggins here was the only person to do it. Well, it was working with such talented guys as yourself. I mean, not just on in front of the audience, but backstage, they're so talented as well. So it just came naturally, you know. Everything's just seamless. In fact, the clothes leapt on yourselves. Really, I didn't have to do anything.
No, really. Well, and yes, it was not only were you the only person who could do that. The producers were too cheap to hire anybody else to do it.
They were too cheap to hire anybody else. But what I did draw the line at is trying to tell you your next line because you've forgotten it. But, you know, other than that, it was all fine, not a problem. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, that doesn't happen over much.
No.
And so you were at the Criterion for the entire run of the Renew Shakespeare Company there. And then you stayed with the Criterion when they started running their next large play performed by only very few actors called The 39 Steps.
That's right. Well, there were a few in between, but they didn't last very long. It was good to say goodbye to all those Reduced Shakespeare Company guys. I mean, they'd been there for 9 years, for God's sake. I mean, they had their feet on the furniture, you know. They, you know, put all their posters up on the wall. They made it their own home, really. So we were good. We were glad to kick them all out. But and then we got another long running show, and that's been there 5 years. And I just, you know, it's I've called it a halt now at the Criterion, and it's been 13 years. I finished last Saturday.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yes, 13 odd years. I thought it was about time to go do something new.
Uh-oh.
Hence the reason I'm going back to work with the Jew Shakespeare Company, yeah.
Right, well, that's returning, of course, to the Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, although this time it has been revised.
That is true, yes. I was reading the revised script only the other day, and it felt just like yesterday, but, you know, 10 years ago when I last did that show, and it all fell into place, and I was dreaming there, sitting there in the bath reading the script, going... Excuse 17.
Very good. Very good.
Hi, I'm Roy Conley from Disney Animation Studios, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, you can see us in Belgium and Holland, in Virginia, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, San Jose, California, the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and in May and June, we'll perform our first national tour of New Zealand. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for a specific venue and ticket information. Although I think the San Jose and Kennedy Center dates might not be posted yet.
It's a great group there touring Belgium and Holland. You, Rippy, Tiger Reel, all four of you have jobs on the internet, which I think is just such a fantastic way for a theater person to make a living, because you set your own hours and you can literally do it anywhere in the world that there's an internet connection.
Yes, but the way you say it like that, it sounds almost seedy. We all have jobs on the internet as if we're some sort of like chat room or seedy sort of like strippers or something.
Right, you are not the new pornographers, you're the very quite old pornographers.
Yes, well, that is part of my internet work, but I mean, I don't like to talk about it too much because,
That's right, we are a family organization.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And yeah, I have lots of, you know, got lots of good clients, so I don't really need to go into my pornography work. I'm quite happy to just let that one go. Yeah,
but you do, and not only. Our new show, of course, is The Complete World of Sports Abridged, which we hope to bring over to Europe at some point. But that sport is also a passion of yours. Am I wrong?
It is. I am a massive sports buff. For your English podcast listeners, they'll know what I'm talking about with cricket and football. For your American podcast listeners, I guess it'll be some stupid game that looks a bit like baseball and soccer.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
My passions, yes. Over here, we call it football. I don't know why you guys call it. I mean, I never understood why you call football football. I mean, you don't kick it that much. I think only two guys kick the ball out of a team of 50. It's more throw ball or run with ball or, you know, dance around a bit with ball a little bit.
Right.
It?
No, those would be more accurate names. We only actually use our feet in football when, as a last resort, when nothing else works. Then we use our feet.
Yes.
Which sort of explains soccer's appeal here, I suspect.
I guess so.
It's the appendage of last resort.
Yes. But it is one of the very few games in the world where you don't actually, you aren't actually allowed to use your hands. You don't actually use your hands in any way.
Right.
In any way. Because if you think about, you know, I guess apart from running. But I guess if you do run, you do have to use your hands. Or if you're playing tennis or if you're playing golf or... swimming. Mm-hmm. There's not many sports where you don't ever use your hands, or at least your ability to use to hold on to something. So it is quite an odd sport, soccer, football.
Now, what are the you have a couple of sport websites that you maintain? What are they?
The first one is called Premier Fantasy Football, and it's kind of most people will be familiar with a kind of fantasy football style website, but this is obviously for English soccer.
How do you spell it? I'm looking it up now. How do you spell?
Is it? It's premff.co.uk.
Oh,
it's basically very British centered. It's centered around the Premier League, the soccer football Premier League, in England. And it's very similar to any kind of fantasy football game where you log in and you pick a team and you get various points when your players score goals or they, you know, get assists and stuff like that. The season's halfway through the season, so it's kind of like it's... people can go and have a look and join up for next year, but the new season won't start till next August, you see. So,
All right.
So it's kind of, we're kind of halfway through a season there. So it's you can't particularly join a league at the moment because it's almost nearly finished. So
right, but that's good. So but because we have a lot of geeks and nerds who listen to the podcast, a lot of fantasy sport players, and so they might be very interested in premff.co.uk. And don't you have a stat site as well?
I do. That's the other one. That's my personal pride and joy.
What's that?
It's englandstats.com.
England.
And this is a database of English soccer, the international team, England team. It's all the stats that I've researched. This is now been a pet project now since 1998, so I've been doing this now 13 odd years, and it tracks the most of the statistics that I've been able to find are of the England international team since 1872.
Whoa!
When the very first international game was played against Scotland, England versus Scotland in Glasgow on 30th of November 1872. And since then, there's been nearly 900 games and well over 1,200 players who have played. So you can obviously see that it's quite a big database of stats there.
Wow.
It started off as a college project of mine, and it kind of has now grown to just a labour of love, really, and many, many hours researching various facts that happened in 1913 and 1876.
As we say in the sports show, dude, you're a super geek.
A super, super geek, yes. And every time England play another game, like, for example, during the World Cup, England famously played the USA in the World Cup, which I seem to remember one headline from America saying, USA wins 1-1. I never quite understood that, but that's in the database, and other games. It gets updated every time there's a game, and every time I get a chance to do a bit of research in my busy schedule. I do try to do a little bit more research here and there, but yes, it's please go and have a look. It's a wonderful, useful thing. Referenced by Wikipedia, don't you know?
Really? Well, englandstats.com. That is enormously cool. You and Reed Martin will have a lot to chat about.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, that talk about our porn days later, but yeah, we do have a lot to chat about. Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your impressive statistics via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, fantasy sportsman Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Rachel Mumford. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Roy Conley from Disney Animation Studios and to Davey Naylor. You can hear more from Davey in podcast episodes number 70 and number 165, and you can follow Davey on Twitter @GingerDavesky. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 221/663 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.